welcome to Norton Rose Fulbright's podcast series focusing on removing risk in the banking sector. We talk to leading lawyers and experts in the banking space about key issues you really need to know about. In this episode, we focus on fraud and specifically on key developments that banks and other financial sector firms should have on their radar as part of their risk management in this area. I'm Alan Bainbridge, head of the bank sector at global law firm Norton Rose Fulbright, and today I'm joined by partner Katie Stephen, who sits in our financial services team and focuses on contentious reg matters with a lot of experience in this area, including clearly fraud. Hi, Katie. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Alan.
So, Katie, fraud is clearly a rapidly growing and complex issue. What has the UK FCA been doing recently in this space that banks should be aware of?
Yeah, so the FCA has said that fraud accounts for 40% of all crimes. So it's a real priority area for the regulator. And you can really see that when you look at the FCA's business plan for 24-25, which has just been published on the 19th of March. And its first commitment in that plan is reducing and preventing financial crime. And as part of that, it said it wants to slow the growth in victims and losses from investment fraud and also authorised push payment or APP fraud cases. And so to achieve this as part of its general move towards being a more data-led regulator, it's really increasing its investment in its systems to use intelligence and data more effectively within its financial crime work so it can target higher risk firms and activities. And it's already conducted and published some output from multi-firm reviews looking at how firms mitigate the risk of fraud. There's been one on money mules, which was published in October last year, and another one on anti-fraud controls and complaints handling, which was published in November. And the output from these includes lots of good practice and areas for improvement. And banks should have looked at or be looking at these publications to inform their own financial crime systems and controls, making sure they're taking into account these examples and meeting the FCA's expectations.
Thanks, Katie. But I mean, as well as keeping a close eye on the reviews coming out of the FCA in this area, what else can firms be doing?
Well, so with fraud, I think the risks are constantly changing and evolving. And so ultimately, payment service providers need to be regularly evaluating their approach to identifying the fraud risks to which they're exposed so that they can pick these up as they emerge and continue to develop their defences against fraud and ensure their control frameworks are fit for purpose. And this isn't a one-off exercise, but it's part of a continuous cycle of enhancement, particularly given what the FCA has said about the extent to which it's going to use its regulatory tools, including enforcement action, if it identifies that firms are failing to maintain proportionate and adequate systems and controls. And we see that with investigations being opened, and where the FCA is doing that, it's opening them against firms and individuals. And these investigations can also prompt litigation by third parties. And that might be even more the case if the new proposals for the FCA to make an investigation public come to pass.
So what happens, or what has been happening on the legislative side in relation to fraud for banks to be aware of?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of key things on the horizon that it's worth mentioning. The first is the corporate offence of failing to prevent fraud, and that's coming in under the Economic Crime and Corporate Transparency Act, which received royal assent in October. And under the new offence, an in-scope organisation, essentially large organisations, are going to be liable where a specified fraud offence is committed by an employee or an agent for the organisation's benefit, and the organisation didn't have reasonable fraud prevention procedures in place. And it doesn't need to be demonstrated that the company bosses knew or ordered the fraud. And the second one to flag is that on the 12th of March, the government published draft legislation, which would allow payment service providers to delay the processing of authorised push payments within the UK in sterling by up to 4 business days, where it appears that there may have been fraud or dishonesty. And that will be the case where the provider needs a bit more time to contact the customer or the third party to establish whether that payment should be executed.
So, Kay, when are these changes due to come in?
So on the failure to prevent fraud, the government said it's going to publish some guidance which should help organisations and provide more information about the reasonable procedures before the new offence comes into force. So we expect it's going to be later this year or early next. On the authorised push payments and the delay in processing those, the government's invited feedback on the draft instrument by the 12th of April, but it's intended that the regulations will come into force by the 7th of October, and that's to align with the payment system regulator's timelines for introducing the mandatory reimbursement for APP scams.
So there's obviously a lot for banks and regulated firms to be thinking about in the area. What are some of the high-level practical steps that you would recommend firms take now in the fraud space?
Yeah, so in terms of practical things that firms can be doing, I mean, obviously firms need to have in place an action plan to ensure they're complying with the regulator's expectations and nothing falls through the cracks. They should be conducting or updating their existing fraud risk assessments and their control frameworks and policies to ensure they're still fit for purpose in light of the new developments. They need to make sure that their relevant teams internally are appropriately trained and resourced. And that's really key because the regulator is not very sympathetic to arguments later on that the firm didn't have adequate resources and will want to know what was being done to tackle that. Where they're not already, they need to be thinking about utilising technology to identify fraud risks and trends and to support customers. And there's been a lot of development in this area recently. And the FCA has mentioned the use of facial recognition systems, device profiling and geolocation. And then finally, I think it's probably worth considering the adequacy of internal whistleblowing arrangements, both from the perspective of facilitating any internal reports in relation to fraud, but also in terms of the process and the steps the firm would take if any alerts are received.
Thank you, Casey. I mean, look, we know that banks are continuously working on strengthening their own systems and controls to tackle fraud and financial crime more generally. But it seems from this episode, Casey, it's clear that regulators continue to revise and upgrade their expectations of what banks need to be doing in this area.
Absolutely.
Thank you.